Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Or the evil that lurks within a facially racially neutral tax code, but actually is not at all racially neutral. And in fact, that's what we're talking about this afternoon on Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. My special guest is Professor Dorothy Brown, who's the Martin Ginsburg Chair of Taxation at Georgetown University Law Center and the author of The Whiteness of Wealth, How the Tax System Impoverishes Black Americans and How We Can Fix It. Thank you again for making time, Professor. We were talking about basically, the federal government underwrote, I'm using that term in a broad sense, yes, underwrote white middle class home ownership coming through the 50s. Home ownership, the equity, the increase in value has built wealth, intergenerational wealth that then helps with educational attainment, acquiring more wealth, being able to invest. We have a tax code that privileges wealth over work by taxing wealth less than work. It shows up in another pernicious way, too. You know, we passed these laws in the 60s and the Fair Housing Act and the Civil Rights Act, and it was supposed to fix these things. And yet, Professor, we know that black families walking into a bank to get a mortgage, less likely, even if they're way more well-qualified to receive that credit than a white family. Some of the statistics here are really shocking. Share a little bit of that with us, what your research has shown, Professor.
So what you see is subprime mortgages. Black and Hispanic families were targeted for subprime mortgages more than white income, white taxpayers with lower income levels. So what you, because subprime mortgages paid the mortgage broker at a higher fee than a regular mortgage. Yes. So even though a Black and Hispanic American were qualified for conventional financing, the mortgage broker steered them into subprime lending. We also see appraisal differences that an appraisal can come to a home, and if they see Black pictures on the wall and they think this is a home owned by a Black American, they will value it less than, and this has been tested, they come back and they, the this Black homeowner had their white neighbor sit in the house and remove all the Black pictures. The appraisal went up like a couple hundred thousand dollars.
A couple hundred thousand dollars. I, dear friend of mine was like, Maggie, come on over. We're having a painting party. I said, why? I said, well, she was selling her house. She's like, I got to whitewash the house so it looks like white folks live here. And that's what we did. She literally like unblacked her house. It was, it had people, does anything look too black, too ethnic in the house? Folks, if you haven't seen these statistics, Google is available to you. There's a whole system of information out there on the internet. You can Google house lending disparities, appraisal disparities by race. The studies are legion. It is proven fact. And here's the next thing that I wanted to ask you about, Professor. If we look at all of this as getting driven, the sort of first domino was, again, this federal underwriting of white home ownership, memorialized in redlining, discriminatory lending policies. It goes on and on. Then we doubled down on this as a society by tying the funding of public education, right, to property taxes, exacerbating the problem.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a book out by Andrew Carl, the historian, called The Black Tax, where he shows how racially discriminatory property taxes have always been and continue to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Black Tax.
It's almost depressing.
It is very depressing. So
almost.
But that's right. Because I want to ask you, what can we do? And here's the thing that I love about this. When I talk to white folks who get all, you know, ornery about talking about issues about race, I say, listen, we do better by black folks and make the tax code work more fairly. It also will work for you because you work for a living. So how do we make this system less racially disparate? How do we make our tax code more fair?
So that's, you know, you raise an excellent point. And one of the things I always emphasize is tax laws may disadvantage Black Americans more, but it also disadvantages white Americans, and we cannot lose sight of that.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, there's a tax break for retirement accounts, but about half of white Americans don't have it. So yep. It may be two-thirds of Black Americans, but half of white Americans don't have it. So, you know, reforming our tax laws are going to help white Americans who work for a living, like Black Americans who work for a living. And, you know, one of the things that I think needs to take place is taxing income from labor at the same rate that we tax income from stock and income from capital. It's unfair that I work hard. I work every day and I pay tax at a high rate. But if I sit at home and check my balance to see if the dividend was put into the account, I pay tax at a low rate. I'm just sitting there doing nothing, right? That's how whiteness of wealth is built. We have a tax break for inheritance. So gifts and inheritance. And let me be clear, it's easier to build wealth when somebody gives it to you.
Yeah, just no. Saying. Yes. Money makes money, and it's sure easy when you start with a lot of it in the bank before you've worked a minute in your life. So we're talking about the difference between income tax levels and capital gains tax. We're talking about the estate tax exemptions. No damn good reasons for any of this. In fact, the argument that I make is people who work need to work. People who invest, that's the gravy. That's the money they got left over after they've paid for medical, house, roof over their head, food on the table, heating, electricity, and shod their children. They got leftovers. That's their investment money, right?
That's right. That's right. That certainly should not be taxed at a lower rate than the tax on wages.
If somebody's listening right now and they want to learn more about this, if they want to ask a candidate an insightful question about this, where should they go to learn more, and what is the one question people should be thinking about asking candidates for whatever office we're talking about?
Well, so if it's a local office, I would ask about how they're trying to make property tax assessments fair, right? If it's local, I would do that. If it's national, then I would ask whether they support taxing income from wages equal to income from investments. And if they say no, find another candidate to support.
Yeah. If you work for a living, if you've got a trust fund and you just sit at home on your patoot, your economic self-interest is in it. Don't tax that wealth so much. No.
That's right.
Tax the work. Professor Brown, it is really a pleasure and a privilege. I have such deep respect and reverence for your work. I would love to have you come back again because this is so critically important.
We just started.
Oh, wonderful. I love that. Her book is The Whiteness of Wealth, How the Tax System Impoverishes Black Americans and How We Can Fix It. We'll put that title as well as the title of a couple of the other books that we mentioned during this segment in our show blurb for today. Thank you again, Professor Brown. For this edition of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, she's not a millionaire. She's one of us folks that work for a living. Thank you so
That's
much,
right.
Professor.
You're welcome.
Be well. We've got more Maggie Dawn Show coming up next with my friend and yours. The host of the new Dom Salvia Show is going to be joining me. We'll riff on the debate, maybe talk about some memorable presidential debate lines. There's a lot of them, Brian, a lot of them. So you're going to catch the farm update, and then Dom and I will be back. My little buddy's coming on the show. I'm so excited. Keep it locked, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.